Make sure you stop by and check out the Coast to Coast AM website. You'll see some of the strange news from around the world, like Kuwait City. A mysterious rain of cash fell from the sky on February 11th, 2015. The falling bills from the United Arab Emirates dirhams estimated to be worth as much as $800,000 in U.S. stopped traffic as people jumped out of their cars and scrambled for the cash. There's more information at Mysterious Universe, and you can see the video of this taking place if you go over to coasttocoastam.com. And while you're there, click on the Coast Insider. Find out how easy it is to make sure that you never miss another minute of the best in overnight talk radio. What is the Coast Insider? It's a place for you to find all of the best of the shows, get interaction with the guests and the hosts of the show, news, and 5 years of past archives for 15 cents a day. It only makes sense. Go stop by and check it out, coasttocoastam.com. I'm your host this evening, Dave Schrader. My guest, Bruce Van Atta, will return with me momentarily, and we'll begin to take your calls. Have you had an angelic encounter, your own miracle, or questions for our guest? We want to hear you next here on Coast to Coast AM. Bruce Van Atta, my guest this evening, has been lucky enough to have had multiple miracles occur in his life. Do you think it's simply as easy as just asking for a miracle? And if so, why does it seem to happen for some people and not others, Bruce?
Again, that's a great question, Dave, that I don't have the answer to. I just know that there have been a lot of people, thousands of people, recorded throughout history, who have called out to God and said, Lord, I need you. And there's been things that have happened that are completely unexplainable. We see it. I mean, we travel around. I'm speaking to 25 to 30,000 people here in person. And as we, I prayed for 350 people this morning in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And, they came forward and guaranteed some of them received what they were looking for from God, and some people didn't. And I don't have the answers to why things happen sometimes and why they don't sometimes, but I know that we are given the opportunity to call out to God and say, look, I need your help, and believe that he hears prayers and we can trust his sovereign plan.
All right, let's start taking some phone calls. I know we've got a lot of listeners lining up that have stories of their own and questions for you. Let's go east of the Rockies. Vaughn in Mills County, Texas, welcome to Coast AM.
Good morning, Dave and Bruce.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My story is about a potential angel encounter when I was saved, and I don't know for sure who it was that saved me. I was learning to swim at the time. I was 8 years old. This was in about 1954 at K.N. Clapp Swimming Pool in Lubbock, Texas. And I got in over my head because I couldn't yet swim well. I was sitting on the bottom of the pool under 5 feet of water waiting to die because I knew I couldn't swim when someone pulled me out of the water. For most of my life, I thought it was my mother who had pulled me out. But last year, she told me that it was not her. So my conclusion is that it was either an angel or it was a bystander. Whoever it was told me that they walked all the way around the pool, which was over 100 yards. And I was underwater for about 3 minutes. If it was a person, and there happens to be a listener who has heard this same story from the person who saved me, I wish I could get in touch with them so that I could properly thank this person or their heirs, because the person would now be in their 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you bring up an interesting fact, too, Vaughn, when you say you don't know if it was a person or an angel.
Right.
And I think people, again, mistake the fact that sometimes, much like the young lady who just happened to be there for Bruce, who was called to be there even though there were all these other EMTs who had called it and said he was dead and gone and it was a waste to try, she tried. I think angels take many forms. They don't always have to be big, glowing, winged, halo-covered creatures. They can be the neighbor that just happens to make a call over to check on things and sees that something's wrong and brings the help. Or it could be that person who just happens to be next to you when they shouldn't have been there and see you underwater and pull you up. I think that that form can be taken in many different ways. But thank you for sharing your story with us, Vaughn. Let's go to Wildcard Line 1, Johnny in Alaska. Thank you for being on the show with us this evening. What's your thoughts?
Hello, Dave. Hi, Bruce.
Hello.
Well, gentlemen, I was in jump school in 1994 in Fort Benning, Georgia. And what happened to me was is it takes 5 jumps to qualify to be a paratrooper. And on my third or fourth jump, I jumped out of the aircraft and I entangled with another paratrooper and I hit the ground really, really hard, enough to knock me out and really hurt me. And it really hurt my back and I was unconscious. The next jump that I had, an Army Ranger was in my platoon and he helped me down to the jump tower and helped me put my chute on and stuff. And he said, whatever you do, don't limp because they'll kick you out. Well, when I got into the aircraft, we had to make another jump. I was so scared about hitting the ground so hard, again, that to hurt me, I looked towards the rear of the aircraft. And we're in flight, and the door opened. And the wind come gushing in. And the jump master, there's a jump master back where you hook your static line up to, and paratroopers understand this, is when I saw the jump master, you're going to think I'm weird, but I think I saw Jesus. And he said, no worries, you're going to hit soft. You have wings on your back. When I jumped out of the aircraft, it's the softest landing I ever had. When the chute opened, I landed, and it was awesome. It was the best landing I ever had, and I got the silver rings pinned upon my chest. So that was my experience. I think I don't know, you know, if I imagined it or what happened, but I feel that it was something.
Johnny, there is somebody watching out over the paratroopers, that I can tell you. My grandfather was a paratrooper in World War II for the 82nd Airborne, Sergeant Cliff Schrader. He jumped, and one time the parachute did not open, and all he did was break a leg. He managed to make it and ended up bribing his doctor so he could go back in and continue to serve. So somebody was watching out for him on numerous occasions, coming down through all that gunfire and falling out of the sky without a parachute and surviving it with anything, you know, nothing more than just a broken leg that was easily set and mended. So I believe somebody's watching out for you. Thank you for serving the country and for being a part of it as well. Let's go west of the Rockies. Suleiman in Los Angeles, you're on the air with Coast to Coast AM.
Blessing to you, Dave, and to Bruce. And you are definitely doing the right thing at the right time on this particular show. I wanted the people out there to know, and Coast to Coast listeners have listened to me in the past. This is Suleiman Edmondson from Los Angeles. I have a 42-minute video on YouTube and Google.com called Suleiman Edmondson, A Message from Jesus Christ. I wanted to let Bruce know I've had 2 visitations in my life from the Son of God, and he is real. And his return is imminent. And Dave, the very first time that I had this first visitation from Jesus Christ, the very first place he took me to was hell. It exists. I saw it. I saw the fallen angels. The second place Jesus Christ...
Well, wait, Suleiman, why would he take you to hell? What was the purpose of that?
He wanted me to tell all of humanity that hell exists. I saw the fallen angels, and I saw the souls on this particular planet that had fallen. And at that particular time in my life, even though I was praying, I was not walking the right path and was very close in losing my soul, and I didn't figure that out until 9 years later. And Jesus Christ gives you the opportunity to prepare yourself and to heal yourself before his coming. That's why he did it. The second place he took me to, Dave, I was on this huge mountain, in the middle of the mountain, Jesus Christ standing to the right of me, and I saw you, Dave, and Bruce, and everybody on this planet standing in rows like an army, and it was the time of judgment. And I saw a flame that would come underneath a person's feet and come across the body, and if you were not prepared, the body was vaporized. I saw thousands upon thousands of this happening, and I turned to Jesus Christ and I said, Son of God, what is that? He said, that is judgment. I said, that quick? He says, you tell them to love the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit before I come. He said, you must be prepared before I come. He also showed me that in 1990, St. Matthew's was supposed to return the earth as the last prophet, but Jesus Christ turned him back because the spiritual evolution at that time was lower than that of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, Dave, in 2008, in December, when I was living in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, Jesus Christ comes again, and he tells me and he shows me that his return is imminent.
Well, now, you say imminent. What does that mean? Will it be in the next 10 to 20 years, do you believe? No, 100 years?
Let me tell you something. The reason why, Dave, you have Bruce on, and Bruce is a very powerful emissary for the truth of God. And Bruce, before you leave the show, I want to ask you if God has given you prophecy so you can see the future. But, Dave, this year, 2015, is the year that every child on this planet must prepare themselves. As you and I are talking, the situation in Russia is rising to a climax after the murder of this particular entity 2 days ago that was going to tell the Russian people that Russian troops were in Ukraine fighting Ukrainians. Well, Vladimir Putin is going to be forced to invade Ukraine and battle with NATO, which would include the United States. The Blessed Virgin Mary said in Medjugorje, she said, in the first 3 hours of global nuclear missile exchange on this planet, 75% of all life would be lost, and every prediction she made was true. In the visitations that I had from Jesus Christ, I was shown Israel going to war with Iran, and Netanyahu will be speaking in the Congress this week. And then I saw the war in the Middle East. And the reason why I'm on the air, I want all of your listeners to go and look at my video because you can cleanse and purify yourself. But, Dave, everyone must initiate prayers now more than ever before in their life. And it's a period of time. It's called the Hour of Mercy, the ninth hour, 3 p.m. every day. That's when Jesus Christ laid down his life on the cross. If you offer up a prayer to Jesus Christ and say, thank you for being the Son of God, thank you for covering me in your precious blood, thank you for forgiving me all of my sins and preparing me for your return, when Jesus Christ takes you before the throne of God and God sees his adoration for his Son while you're on earth, the glories that God will give you will make the angels jealous. And Dave, what you and Bruce are doing tonight, you are preparing humanity for what is coming this year, 2015. We must be prepared. We must say words. And by the way, Gina, your screener, she has a powerful story to tell about her husband being saved in Bali. He had great trials and tribulations, and it was the prayers from the Coast to Coast listeners that saved him and brought her back.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Suleiman. I appreciate the insights. 2015. Do you get prophecies? Do you get messages that come in to you to give you insights to what's coming in our future as well, Bruce?
Well, I know this. As I go around and speak, even this morning, I mean, there was people that, as I'm standing in front of them praying for them, Lord would give me a word for them. You know, that's, I think, a term that people use. Some people might call it a prophecy. Example, I'm praying for a man this morning, and the Lord just put on my heart that he had a prodigal child, and I've never met this guy before in my life. And I said, you know, I feel as I'm praying for you, the Lord says you have a prodigal child, someone that's, you know, really in a bad place in their life right now. And God just wants you to know that he's hearing your prayers for this child, and that he's working in the background, even though it doesn't look like it. And that was the case. I mean, so yeah, there's the prophetic words we get as we go travel around. And I do think, you know, things are chaotic in the world. We are entering into what people call the end times. And I think biblical prophecy points to Israel and, you know, Russia, all it. It's all in there, you know. I mean, it's all in there. And again, for me, I know I've been sent back to say, look, there's spiritual realities and spiritual things that we, like this man was just talking about, that we need to think about, and we have to make that choice. We have to make that decision in the here and now. And I think the first guy, Vaughn, the very first caller we had, where he talked about, you know, somebody pulled him out of that pool. As I travel around and I speak, you know, and I'll speak to 100 people at a place, and two or three people come up afterwards and share their angel stories, much like him. One of the common reoccurring themes that I see over and over that proves that there's a spiritual reality is that people have these experiences with these people, these beings, whatever, and they think it's a normal person, but they always disappear. And that's their clue. That's the clue that it was an angel, because all of a sudden, you know, this person saves them, helps them. They think it's a normal person. It looks like somebody normal, but then all of a sudden they disappear. And I've got literally, you know, probably dozens of those stories that I've recorded, written down. I haven't put them in any books yet. And the second book, A Miraculous Life, that's got like 40-some miracle testimonies that we've seen. But these angel stories, and even the stories in this Miraculous Life book, these are the kind of things that raise people's faith, and they hear these stories and they go, wow, this is proof that there is a supernatural existence, that there is something outside of the normal that's happening out there, and that, you know, it's dramatic stuff. It's stuff that's life-changing.
Do you believe that if we really were in the end times, do you believe that we would get a message informing us of that prior to it happening? Or do you think it's like it says in the Bible, he'll come as a thief in the night, we won't know when, it'll just happen?
Well, it does say that we won't know the exact time or day is what it says. And Jesus said that even the angels don't know. But what he does say is we'll know the season. So to me, you know, what does a season mean? Well, you know, maybe like you said, maybe it's a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever, you know, a season. It's a, you know, and we know based on, you know, I believe based on what I read, based on what I feel the Lord has put on my heart, we are in that season. What, you know, maybe it is this year. I don't know. I can't say. Maybe it's next year. Maybe it's 30 years from now. I don't know. But I know that time, the clock of eternity in my heart, what I believe to be true is that we have ticked down, you know, Israel becoming a nation, 1948, all these different things in biblical prophecy that took, you know, 2,000 years for it to happen. It's happening. We're in the middle of it right now. So, I mean, today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. So every day we get to make that choice or decision, you know, about our reality, our eternal destination.
We've got more calls coming up. We've got another half an hour left with our guest, Bruce Vanatta. You can check out information on our guest, on his ministries and his books by checking out coasttocoastam.com. Again, that's coasttocoastam.com. And if you'd like to meet with me this year, I'll be traveling all around the United States and going out to Australia and Ireland later on this year. You can get more information on that and how to join me at some of the top paranormal conferences and conventions around the world by checking out darknessevents.com. That's darknessevents.com, or just visit my regular radio website at darknessradio.com. That's darknessradio.com, and you'll be able to listen to Darkness Radio's live stream Monday through Friday, 9 to midnight. And stay tuned, because right after our show wraps up, you'll be able to continue your journey into the unusual with George Norrie and Coast to Coast as the stream continues there. We're going to take our break. When we come back, we've got more calls to take. You can continue to call in and be a part of the show. This is Coast to Coast AM. We'll continue taking your calls through the remainder of the show. My guest this evening, Bruce Vanatta, talking about his own miracles, his own angelic encounters. If you've had your experiences and you'd like to share them with us, or you have a question for my guest, then give us a call. It's your time to shine, just like first-time caller Bob in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Good evening. How are you guys?
Doing great. Thanks for calling in. What was your question this evening?
Well, I wanted to share my story, and it's kind of strange. I have been involved in 5 major incidents in my life where I very easily could have been killed, yet I haven't been, and I, believe me, quite question daily, why not? The first one happened when I was 3 years old. I had fallen about 5 feet from a concrete retaining wall, landed on my head, and fractured my skull.
Mm.
None worse the wear for that one. When I was 6 years old, I was hit by a car and thrown over the hood of the car, up in the air, and into a brick wall. I had a concussion, spent a night in the hospital, but again, no worse the wear. At 12 years old, I was riding my bicycle, and I got run over by an 18-wheeler while crossing a highway. Had a minor broken bone in my arm. That was it. I was shot in a bar parking lot by someone who mistook me for someone else, and ended up walking away from that one. I spent about 3 hours in the hospital with a through-and-through bullet wound to my shoulder.
Good grief.
And then just this past December, I was working. I'm a firefighter. I was standing at the pump on the side of the fire engine pumping water, and I was struck by a car and pinned against the fire engine for a few minutes, and then the car drove away, dragging me down the street for a little bit, and I walked away from it with a minor broken bone in my leg. I have no idea how I can manage to get into this much trouble. And
Bob, I would never go out of doors again. I would never go outside again if I were you.
It's funny. A friend of mine just asked the other day, he put something up on his Facebook about a deep sea fishing trip. And I said, oh, yeah, I'd be interested in going on that. And he told me flat out, no, because the boat will sink and you'll be the only one that'll live and we'll all die. So, you know, it doesn't have social life.
Oh, I would guess so. My gosh, thanks a lot for calling in, Bob. That's a remarkable set of circumstances. Boy, you look at guys like this. Now, you know, you sit there and you listen to the story, Bruce, as he's telling this and how many things that have happened to him and he should have perished. And, you know, the one question that comes to mind is, then what are you doing with a life like this, with a gift that you've been given? And he answered that question in his final story. He's a firefighter. He goes out on a daily basis putting his life on the line to help others. So, what a reward. I mean, an amazing life, amazing set of circumstances to continually be challenged by death and walk away from it with a few minor scrapes and bruises. I don't know how you cannot consider that a life of miracles.
I guess.
Yeah. Man. Wild card line two, Gary in Los Angeles. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks so much, Bruce, for what you're doing, because as the other gentleman said, yes, this is the year that the major things will start to either purify this planet or take us out of it, one of the two. Several million extraterrestrials and our brothers and sisters have been working secretly in about 130 countries to make this happen. This is the seventh complete civilization we've had on this planet. We've destroyed ourselves six times before, and this is the finale. We're in the final. I've been a student of metaphysics since about 1948. I've had four discs spiritually rebuilt in my spine through etheric surgery. My mom made her ascension in 1989. This is the real reason why we're here. We're spiritual beings in a physical body. As Jesus of Nazareth said, ye are gods. All these things I do shall ye do also, and greater things than these shall ye do. Well, I've been to India twice, and Sai Baba did so-called miracles over 70 years, including raising a few people from the dead. I know one person he did that with. We are supposed to be doing miracles regularly, but we should only be working basically with ascended masters and angels. No one should ever focus on anything demonic. The Buddha had an ascended, great ascended master working with him during his entire lifetime, and that same great master also worked with Jesus of Nazareth, was there with him during his lifetime. We all have guides of some sort. I have an ascended master that's with me, but we all have someone that's helping us through this life.
All right, Gary, thank you for your insights. Let's take our final break. When we come back, Gordon, George, and Chandra, you're on deck here on Coast to Coast AM. Time always seems to fly a little too fast when I get to host Coast to Coast AM. My name is Dave Schrader, filling in this evening. I'll be back with you on March 15th. I hope that you'll continue to tune in and check it out. And if you've missed any part of tonight's show, make sure to go become an insider, a Coast Insider. Go to coasttocoastam.com, click on the Insider. You get all the information on why you should join, along with millions across the world. You get 5 years of past archives. You get access to the hosts of Coast to Coast, great guests, news stories, and more. Literally 15 cents a day. Go check out Coast to Coast AM and become an insider right now. We're going back to the phone lines. Wildcard Line 3, Gordon, Lakeland, Florida. You're on the air with Bruce Van Natta and Dave Schrader. What's your story?
Dave, Bruce, I have a lot of miracles, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to ask a question. I'm a Christian like both of y'all, and I'm not ashamed to name Jesus as not only my King, but my Lord and whatnot. But I have a question. During both your encounters and the encounters of the people that you've written about in the book, have any of y'all, has Jesus or have any of y'all read or had information about Jesus' role as a role model and an example? Jesus is very God, but he's also very human. And I'm a human. I have a lot of pain in my life, a lot of difficulties, a lot of suffering. And Jesus, Paul the Apostle was a good role model, but Jesus was the only perfect role model that was able to endure it and encourage me and increase my faith. And I want to know, what has Jesus or any other person or angel or anyone told you about this or your research?
Well,
Thank you, Gordon.
Immediately come to mind for me. You've got John 14:12. Jesus says, those who believe will do the same things I've been doing. And I think a previous caller alluded to something along those lines. And we also hear Acts 10:38, Jesus of Nazareth, anointed by the Holy Spirit to go forth and heal the sick, et cetera, et cetera. And you're right. He is to be our prime example. He's to be the one that shows us how to live. He forgave when it didn't make sense. You know, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing as he's being crucified. He gave up his life for others. He was the eternal servant. And so we are supposed to emulate him. He's supposed to be our prime example. He always reacted in love. He always responded correctly. As you said, he had no sin in his life. And so all these things put together. And what's interesting, Philippians says that he laid down his godhood. He became man. He was God, but he laid down his godhood while he's on this earth to show us what it was like. And so he operated empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes down on him when he's 30 years old so that he can go forth and, you know, start his ministry. And so I think for us that's the key. We have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, live that life. And really what it means is, in layman's terms, connected to God. I mean, in relationship with God every day so that we can be led by him to do the big things, the little things, and everything in between. You know, I mean, that's what it all comes down to. Today, we're on a drive home, a three-hour drive. We're cruising along, and I feel led to get off on an exit. And we get off this exit, go to a gas station. I use the restroom there. I mean, I didn't have to. There's many exits I could have used. In the parking lot, it's a homeless guy. And I was in drugs and alcohol for enough years. I've you know, I'm a skeptic. And I just feel like the Lord puts on my heart when I'm in the thing, I had you stop at this exit for this guy. We roll up to him as we go to leave. I rolled the window down. I said, hey, what's the story? The guy's got his sign there. It's cold. I mean, frigid, like 0 degrees here in Wisconsin. And I could tell instantly, I know if somebody's drunk. I could tell if somebody's high. He was not drunk. He was not high. If they ask for money, I know it's a red flag. The guy doesn't want any money. He says, I just need food, man. He goes, I'm starving. I'm hungry. I'm sleeping in a local warming shelter. And I felt like that's what the Lord put on my heart. So we had some food in the car, a basket that the church I spoke at today gave us. I reach it out. I give it to him, you know, through the window and said, here it is. I gave it to him. But, you know, just an example, being led, being plugged in so you're listening and just being, you know, God's hands and feet, as Dave said earlier, you know, just doing the little things we're supposed to do as people, showing that love to each other.
Wildcard Line 4, George in East Strasburg, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the show.
Your earlier comments have somewhat anticipated what I had to ask, why it is that you can be in extreme distress, living a right scientific life, and there is no help forthcoming, day after day, year after year. My mother had a stroke here. We had taken care of her in every possible way. She was in good health. She had some high blood pressure. At 83, her brain age was 54. We gave her a special test with Dr. Braverman in New York. She dropped on the kitchen floor one day in April 2002 with a stroke. We had her taken to the hospital. She was completely paralyzed in her right side. She couldn't walk. She couldn't walk. She couldn't talk. She couldn't move. She couldn't do anything ever again. And she went this way 15 months in a nursing home. She needed hyperbaric oxygen. The doctors never told us about that. The Alsipel Hospital didn't have it. There was another hospital in the area that did, but we were not informed of it. And I didn't know of any of this until it was too late. We prayed for her every day. We did everything for her. We could for her. Finally, she contracted pneumonia and suffered intensely for 8 days and passed away. As for my own condition, I'm losing my home. I've lost my mother's income. I have done historic professional work in all of my occupations in teaching and in church music and in other things, and I have had continual abuse from all of them. We wonder why this is.
Thank you, and I'm sorry about the stresses and pressures that you're going through. I can understand that feeling, and I don't know. I mean, where do you stand on this, Bruce? Are these, you know, it's easy to stand on the outside and say, well, these are the challenges. It's not being knocked down that defines us. It's how we brush ourselves off and stand back up and get back into the fight. That's truly what shows us. And is it, instead of the questioning of faith, just accepting that something good will happen and we need to just keep brushing it off and keep focused on the positivity? That's a really hard thing for people to do. It sounds great in theory, but sometimes when you just get your butt kicked too many times, it's hard to believe that there's a greater good, that there's a positive force of nature watching out for our best interests. People are dying all over the world. Children are being hurt and molested and killed in irrational numbers. Not that there's any rational number for that to happen, but there's that darkness that's always there. Why aren't we just being protected because we're the children, if there's really a God and this lesson is to be learned?
You know what? Again, those are hard, tough questions.
Right.
As I said earlier, I don't have the answers to everybody's questions, but I do know this. When I do an honest study of Scripture and look how, you know, the disciples, you got 12 disciples, 11 out of the 12 are killed, you know, just suffered horribly. The 12th one is boiled in water and oil, whatever, and, you know, just bad thing after bad thing. Jesus himself, you know, horribly beaten and stuff before he's crucified. Throughout the ages, the early church fathers, all the bad things that happened. Jesus himself saying, in this world, you have trouble, you have tribulation. And we know, I mean, everybody that's lived knows, I mean, there's a lot of bad stuff. And when you're in it, it sucks. And, you know, there's those times where we say, God, why is this happening? And all these deep, dark questions, where I've come to me personally, and, you know, there's, a, you know, for every person that I pray for that somebody gets healed, you know, there's 15 or 20 that don't. And there is no, you know, this person gets out of a wheelchair, this person's deaf ear opens, or this person's cancer gets healed, you know, and then 20 that don't. Man, I don't have the answer as to why, but I fully, where I'm at right now in my life, all I can believe is I've seen it happen enough times that I know he's real, God's real, and that we're just to trust him even despite the storm and say, you know, if you think about eternal things, if we truly are, you know, eternal beings, and I think we are, and we're going to leave this earth, and just like when my spirit left my body, and I didn't even realize that body down there was mine, completely disconnected from it, and we put all our focus on this life here and now, which is easy to do because it's where we're at, and we lose focus of the eternal things, I think, you know, like your mom, you guys are praying, you're lifting her up, and yeah, she was suffering, and it was horrible to see that. I mean, I've seen loved ones in my life suffer, and people die. But to think that, okay, now she is no longer suffering. Now she's in a place where she wouldn't want to ever come back to here because it feels so good. And you and I get to look forward to that same thing and say, you know what, someday I get to go there and there's going to be no sorrow, no suffering, no tears. And, you know, just that eternal perspective, I think for me it really changed a lot after my accident of not focusing so much on the here and now but looking more towards eternal things.
It's a strange phenomena because there are people that I know that we've been requested to pray for that have no faith or belief system at all, yet people across the world lift them up. And again, is it a sense of intention, people coming together for a cause of good, something out and besides themselves that make a magic happen? Is it a benevolent God that watches over and hears these prayers and these wishes and reaches down and heals people? You know, I guess we'll all know and we'll get our answers in the end when it's our time to know these things. And I know that's a horrible, lame answer. There just is no good answer. Why do bad things happen to good people? It doesn't make sense. International phone lines. Let's go to Chandra to wrap up the call here from Windsor, Ontario, Canada. We've got just about 2 minutes left here. Chandra, did you have a quick story for us?
Yeah, hi there. Good morning. On behalf of all Canadians, I just want to wish you a good week ahead. And
thank you.
I just have one small question. I just want to know what's the difference between luck and miracle. Is there any significance for each one of that?
Between luck and a miracle, you want to know if there's any kind of differential? It's a great question, Chandra. Thank you for calling in. What do you make of that, Bruce? I mean, is there a difference between luck and
sure,
true miracles?
Absolutely. So let's use my example. Truck falls on me. I get crushed in half. Doctors say there is no medical way I should not have bled to death. I did bleed to death. My spirit leaves my body. I died. A lady comes and prays me back to life. A guy comes and prays. 9 to 11 feet of intestine come out of nowhere. There's no way that you can say it was lucky that I didn't bleed to death, or that it was lucky that when somebody prays in the name of Jesus, that 9 to 11 feet of intestine appear out of nowhere. Luck, could be coincidental. It's lucky if you win the lottery. It's lucky if, you get the good parking spot when you pull into, the place that you want to go out to eat. I mean, those things could be considered luck. Somebody prays, somebody's dead, and they come back to life. There's no luck involved. Somebody prays and intestines, come out of nowhere. No luck involved. I mean, there's a difference between the miraculous and just the everyday normal, small, inconsequential things, I think. I mean, that's what immediately comes to my mind, Dave.
I agree with you. And, I understand the side. I've been on both sides of this fence. And, part of my journey, I'm terrified of the idea of death, even knowing what I know and having heard as many testimonies as I've had about what happens once we cross over in the peace and the love. I've had near-death experiences myself where there was no light, there was no reassurance, there was nobody standing in the tunnel welcoming me or telling me it was time to go back. There was no sound of God's voice. And it leads us out there to question and wonder, why do these things happen? Why do these people, good people, good-hearted people, why are they taken while other people that we watch step on people and crush people just continue to flourish in these situations? And it doesn't make sense. And it's heart-wrenching sometimes to see people succeed in spite of themselves when good people continue, like our last caller, to be kind of dragged through the mud. It's a tough situation. I wish there were answers. I wish we could all make sense of what's going on. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, Bruce, and for sharing your story. And wow, what a unique perspective. I mean, an amazing life, and it's good to know that you're out doing good with the gift that you've been given. So thank you for joining us this evening.
Thanks a lot, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
You can check out coasttocoastam.com for links to our guest and to his books. I want to thank Gina and Nathan back in the home office for making the show run so smoothly. Tim Dennis here in Minnesota running the engineering booth for me. Of course, Lisa Lyon and George Norrie for letting me sit in the big boy seat again this evening. I'll be back with you on the 15th. And special thanks to our Gary Patterson in the first half an hour of tonight's show and Bruce Van Natta for his miracles and angelic encounter stories. That's it for me tonight. Thank you for listening. This is the best in overnight talk radio. You've been tuned in to Coast AM.